This podcast is a production of The Orchard, a church community located in Aurora, Illinois, whose mission is leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Visit us online at orchardvalleyonline.com.
We are in week number 4 of our series called Uncertainty. And of course, you know, it's almost impossible to talk about the subject of uncertainty without discussing a subject that is obviously at the core of so much of the worry and the anxiety and the stress that we see all around us. And of course, I'm talking about, can anyone guess? Money, finances, right? You know, last weekend, we began this discussion about money, about, and specifically in uncertain times, by really opening up a scripture that I think sums up what our attitude, what our approach should be towards money. And I want to look at it again this morning. It's found in 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, it says these words. Paul writes this. He says, teach those who are rich in this world. Now, I got to just pause there because a lot of times we get about that far and then we stop reading because we go, well, that's not me. So, you know, I'm just going to stop right there. Well, hold on a second. If you put your life and look at your life in the context of this world, it takes about 1 second for you to realize that you and I are most certainly rich. I mean, if you have a car, if you have more than two outfits to wear, if you have a roof on your home, if you have running water and electricity, guess what? You are better off than the majority of people around this world. So anyway, that applies to you. Just want to get that out of the way and clarify that, okay? Teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. And everyone said amen to that, right? It says their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. I love this passage. Paul says, he says, look, don't put your trust in riches because they are so uncertain. Instead, put your trust in God. And that is such a great reminder for us, isn't it? Put your trust in God. Because, see, here's the thing. While everything around us is constantly changing, you know, while the stock market is changing and going like this, and while the housing market is going like this, and while unemployment is going like this, and while there's all this uncertainty around us, there's still one thing that is certain, and that is that God, meanwhile, has not changed one bit. So, what better place to put our trust than in an unchanging God, right? And so last weekend, we learned about three very important attitudes, ways of belief that will help us during times of uncertainty to make sure that we're putting our trust in God. And if you weren't here, I would encourage you to pick up the CD or download the podcast. But I want to review those this morning because I think these are three, just core truths that we need God to help us embrace. And the first one was this. If you were here, you'll remember that the first thing we learned last weekend is that God is my source. Would you say that with me? Ready? God is my source. And see, while we should be thankful for our jobs and we should be thankful for our incomes and all the different ways that God provides for us, God still wants us to remember that, hey, at the end of the day, I mean, when it's all said and done, everything in life, every blessing in life comes to us from God. He is our source. And we also learned that not only does everything come from God, but everything also belongs to God. In other words, even when God blesses us, guess what? It's still not ours, right? It still belongs to God, which means that you and I are not owners of our stuff. We are not owners of our money. We are simply managers. And so that was the second thing we learned last weekend, was that you and I, that I'm a manager, not an owner. Now say that with me, would you? I'm a manager, not an owner. And then, of course, along with that realization comes the third thing that we learned last weekend, and that was that not only are you and I managers, but God wants us to manage well. And so that was the third thing we learned. I must manage well. Say that with me. Ready? I must manage well. And as you know, there's so many different ways we can do that in our lives. But it all begins, like we learned last weekend, by making sure that you and I are keeping God first place. That we are keeping God first. And one of the ways we do that, and one of the ways that followers of God have done that for thousands and thousands and thousands of years, is through what's known as tithing. And if you were here last week and you remember, the tithing is really all about keeping God first. In fact, there's a scripture we look at in Malachi where God actually, he kind of takes this pretty far, and he says to us that we should actually test him in this. God says, test me. And it's kind of funny because over and over in the scriptures, we actually see that we should not test God. I mean, over and over, don't test me. Don't test me. But then when it comes to this area of our money, our area of life called money, God says, okay, test me in this and see if I will not be faithful. See if I will not pour out such blessing in your life that you won't have room enough to receive it. And of course, those blessings aren't just about money. Those blessings are about things, and I think more importantly, things that money can't even buy. But God says, test me. And God says the way we do that is by giving back to him the first part of everything he brings us in our lives. And so last weekend, man, a whole bunch of you took a huge step of faith in your life, and you made a commitment to tithe through what's known as our tithing challenge. Now, in case you have no idea what I'm talking about, the tithing challenge is basically this. We said, okay, starting this weekend, we challenge you, actually God challenges you, but we help encourage you in this step. But starting this weekend, you take the step of faith to begin tithing consistently for 3 months. And at the end of those 3 months, okay, if God has not been faithful to you, okay, or if you regret your decision to tithe, what we said we will do at the Orchard is we will actually give back to you everything that you gave during those 3 months. Now, I know there's some of you that would go, Scott, that's crazy that you would do that. Man, Scott, that's kind of gutsy. Why would you do that? Well, here's the reason, okay? Because we believe that what God says is true. And so we believe we can stand up here today and last weekend. This is not a gimmick or anything like that. This is simply a way to help encourage you to bust out of your comfort zone and to obey God in an area of your life and in my life that so often is the last area that we surrender to God. And so, first of all, let me just say, those of you who took that step of faith, I just want you to know as your pastor that I'm extremely proud of you because this is such an important area of your life. And I also want you to know that you're surrounded by a group of people, many of us in this room, who have also taken that step in our lives. And so we understand how scary it can be. We understand how your hand might be shaking as you're writing your tithe check. We understand that. And so we're praying for you. We want to encourage you to continue on this journey and to be faithful and watch what God does in your life. And let me also say, if you haven't yet signed up for the tithing challenge, there's a card on the seat in front of you. Just read that over, fill it out, and you can turn it in back at our information table. But here's what I think is important to understand, and here's what we're going to talk about today, okay? Giving back to God that first 10% is very, very important, but it doesn't stop there. No, as a matter of fact, God also cares about what we do with that other 90%. Because even that other 90%, it still belongs to God. And so what that means is God cares how we use our money. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that your heart and your money are connected, which means that God cares how you spend your money. God cares how you save your money. God cares how generous we are with our money. God cares how we invest our money. All of that, all of it matters to God. And so today we're going to talk about that other 90%. And to help us do that, I'm excited because we have with us a fellow friend, a fellow follower of Jesus, and a professional financial planner by the name of John Grulo, who's with us this morning. And in a minute, you're going to have a chance to meet John. John was with us a couple years ago, and he's the president of Lighthouse Financial Group here in Aurora, right down the street. His company specializes in everything from college financial planning to academic planning, career planning, and I'm excited to have him with us today. And I'm also excited because today we get to have a little bit of technological fun here at the Orchard. And we're going to give you the opportunity to guide and navigate where we go today. And, of course, the way you're going to do that is by text messaging your questions. Mike mentioned it earlier. I'm going to give you a little demonstration. I got my iPhone here, okay? And all you're going to do, in fact, Let's show that slide with the, okay. If you notice on the bottom, it says text ORCHARD plus your question to 47201. So the number you're going to text to is 47201, and you're going to text ORCHARD plus your question. And so I'm going to just demonstrate here. All right, so I'm typing in 47201, and I'm typing in ORCHARD, and I'm typing in my, well, it's not really a question, but it's something awfully nice. All right, and I'm going to send it. And your question, as long as it pertains to today's topic, yeah, I saw what some people typed in last night. Be ashamed of yourself. Will show up on the screen just like that. So, now if you want to type that, we will allow that. Okay? So anyway, it's very easy. 47201, you type ORCHARD plus your question, and you can go ahead and you can start typing your questions in right now. You might have questions about anything from budgeting to, saving to planning. Any question you have in regards to finances, this is your opportunity to ask those questions. And listen, here's the deal, okay? The reason that we've asked John to be here today, the reason we're doing this text messaging thing is not just to be cool, okay? It's because we here at the Orchard, we really do care about your life. I mean, we care about every part of your life. We care about you as a husband, as a wife. We care about you as a single person. We care about you as a parent, as a grandparent. We care about you as you lead in your organization or your business, whatever you do, okay? As a teacher, whatever category you fall in, we care about you and every part of your life, including the area of your finances. And our hope today, I mean, my prayer today is that your heart will connect with what God wants you to do. So would you take a moment right now, just between you and God? Would you just take a moment, bow your heads? Would you just say a little prayer to God? God, I want to connect with what you want to do in my heart today. Just say that to him in your own way. God, I want to connect with what you want to do today. Because we realize this is a very, very important area. So God, help us to do that. And I know for some of you, maybe you're here today and you're at a place in your life where you feel like you're just spinning your wheels when it comes to your finances. You feel like you're just in this cycle and you cannot break out of it. Maybe there's some of you who you'd say, it's not so much that I'm spinning my wheels. You know, for some of you, maybe you're at a place right now that could be best described by a scene from this film that we want to show you right now. So turn, if you would, your attention to our screens. Watch this. Would you give a warm Orchard welcome to John Grulo this morning?
Morning, Scott.
John, thank you. Well, John, thank you for taking time out of your weekend. You're a busy guy. Thanks for being here.
It's a pleasure to be back.
Hey, I want to dive right in because we're already getting some great questions here. And I know you've got a lot to share with us today. So, again, thank you for being here. Hey, I want to ask you a question. You asked us to show this clip today. And that's vaguely familiar to some of us, at least the movie, because you had us look at this movie a couple years ago when you were here. Tell us why.
A couple years ago when I was back, I'd asked God to show that because whether you like the image or not, we're all on our own Titanic cruise. I know it doesn't sound very positive, but the point is in the movie that the lookouts didn't see the iceberg until it was a half mile away. And when you have a ship that big moving that fast, half mile away, there's nothing you can do. It's going to be a major catastrophe. And in our lives, we all have our own icebergs. It could be college, it could be retirement, it could be cash flow, debt, whatever it is. The point is, the further back you are from your icebergs, the less drastic a course change you're going to have to make in order to avoid them. So that's what I covered 2 years ago. Today it's kind of, I think we're probably feeling like this last scene. We've hit the iceberg and we are going down. And I thought it'd be a good jumping off spot for the message you wanted to cover.
Yeah, well, John, you devoted your life to what you do. You've been doing it for how long?
Over 23 years.
23 years. And you've helped an awful lot of people, probably beyond ways that you even know. And I guess the question I have for you to start out is why? Why have you devoted your life to this?
Well, many moons ago, before I was married, obviously, I was actually studying to be a monk. And then I got married, and 4 kids later, that's changed. But my goal in all that time was I wanted to help people. That's why I do what I do, is to really help people in their finances and kind of get them through this and find out what to do with what God wants.
Well, you've helped a lot of people, no doubt about that. And I love the fact that not only are you a financial planner, but you are a follower of Christ and a fellow Catholic friend. And this church is filled with a lot of Catholic people. And so
I know.
You're among how many Catholics are here? How many? Okay, some of you would say I'm an ex-Catholic, maybe. Okay, there go the hands right there. Well, we love Catholics, and we but I mean, I think it's just great because you have such a heart and a passion for what you do. It's not just a job. There's a real spiritual side to this, and mm-hmm. I think you were onto something when you were pursuing to become a monk. I mean, there's something very spiritual about that, and that's an important part of your life today. And so I want to ask you this question. I mean, we've been talking a lot about being managers, not owners.
Right.
That is obviously a concept we see in the Bible. Can you talk to us about why that's important for us as followers of Jesus? And what does it really mean to be a manager of our finances, of God's finances?
Well, I think one of the tough things that I had as a financial planner was, you know, how do you give people financial advice and still get them to do what's godly advice? And I realized that, you know, I've been very blessed in my practice and my family, and it took me a while to figure out that God not only wants to tell me what to do with the top 10%, but also the other 90%. And it's kind of an internal-external thing. And it, I think I would describe it as one of my favorite people from right around the time of the Reformation, Ignatius of Loyola. One of his quotes that I've carried for years is, act as if everything depends upon you, pray as if everything depends upon God.
That's good.
And I think, you know, sometimes we hear the word, we'll lift it up to the Lord. And those of you that are really struggling financially, it's, well, give it up to God. Well, how do you do that? Mm. And so that's kind of the mantra that I carry with
me. Yeah, I mean, sometimes it's so easy to say things like that. You know, just trust God, put your trust in God. I mean, right. But what does that look like? I mean, I think that's some of the stuff we've been trying to hit on, you know, in this series. Mm-hmm. Let me move on and ask you this. We obviously are living in uncertain times, which isn't anything new. I mean, times are always uncertain. Obviously, we're in a time where it's impacting a lot of people at one time, and it's being talked about an awful lot. But what are some of the things you're seeing right now? I mean, with the people that you're interacting with, the questions they're asking, I mean, what's the overall vibe out there, the feel among people right now that you're dealing with?
There's a lot of fear. I have, you know, my pre-retirees are wondering, oh my gosh, am I going to be able to retire when I want to? Am I going to be able to take care of college for my kids? How do I keep my house? The younger families, for those families, they've been around. I see some gray hair in the audience. You've been around, you've seen this before. It's a pretty extensive down cycle. But the younger families, they've never seen this before. And they're going, am I going to be able to retire at all? Hmm. So I kind of tell them what my yoga instructor and my scuba diving instructors have told me. Keep breathing. That's it.
That's great advice. Keep breathing.
And that's kind of the external thing, I guess, is you have to have a business. You have to have a plan. I mean, I don't know how many business owners there are in the audience, but Bill Gates, the automakers, Caterpillar, they have a business plan for how they're going to get through this process. And if you're a business owner, you have a business plan. But those of us that are, you know, we don't think about doing the same thing at home. Our home, our families, you need to treat like a business.
Yeah.
You need to have a plan. And so that's you need to do the external part, act as if everything depends upon you. The internal side would be, I'd probably go back to 1 Kings 19. You know, when Elijah was hiding in the cave, he just destroyed all the prophets of Baal and everybody's chasing him. And this earthquake comes and the fire comes and the strong wind comes. And how does he hear God? The whisper. And we need to take time to listen for the whisper.
Well, yeah, that's such a great point. I think that especially in these times, if there's ever a time in our lives that we need to just take time to get quiet. Mm-hmm. And like you said, to just keep breathing. You know, I think there's this tendency in our lives sometimes in moments like this that we tend to pull back from things like generosity. We tend to pull back from a lot of the principles that God has given us, that I think God's principles work in good times and they work in bad times. And I think that's probably one of our biggest challenges is making sure that in these times, you know, you were talking last night, I guess we'll probably hit on this a little bit later, but last night just about, you know, really being a community and really being there for one another. I think there's ever a time that we as a church community need to not just say we're a community, but really make sure that we are engaging together as a community. And it's right now.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, we're getting a lot of great questions. And I'm just going to let you've got them right in front of you, so I'm just going to let you decide which questions. You guys are asking some pretty good ones. And continue to text them in. We may not get to all of them, but that would give you a reason to come to the next service as well, if you want to. And we'll hit more there. So there may not be room for you, but you could stand or sit on the floor. That's fine. Anyway, John, where should we go here?
Let's start with the first one. How much should you have in savings?
That's a great question.
I would say that this is like building a house, and you have to count the cost. So I always recommend you should have somewhere between 3 to 6 months worth of emergency savings in case something happens. You know, just in case something happens to the car, your furnace, you lose a job. If you're in an area that you're worried about your job, you may want to consider 6 months. Mm. And I think that's pretty crucial.
3 to 6 months.
Yeah, but if you feel like you're in an area of risk, like, you know, companies like Lucent, Motorola is getting ready to roll off another one, you may want to consider 6 months worth of emergency funds, because that's what it's going to take. Because generally the rule of thumb is if you lose your job, it takes about 1 month per $10,000 of income to find another job. So if you were making 60 grand a year, it's going to take you about 6 months. That's pretty average. So you want to have, I'd say, 6 months worth of expenses.
I like this next one. Is now a good time to invest in the stock market?
It's a great time to invest. Actually, this is probably, boy, if you have cash is king right now, and if you have the money, there's bargains out there that we haven't seen for probably 30 to 40 years. On the other hand, this is kind of a, excuse me, a needs versus wants issue. Perfect example. Every year, I always fund my retirement plan before the end of the year. And I was ready to write the check, and I felt like God saying, you know what, there's somebody else that needs that money more than you do right now. Mm-hmm. And matter of fact, my wife's family is from the Mideast. So there's a lot of, matter of fact, Christians are being persecuted unbelievably in the Mideast. And I felt like, you know, God saying, you know what, you need to send them the money. It was that, some friends, neighbors of ours that were in trouble, and I think we needed to send it there instead. So the want was, yeah, I wanted to buy some stocks at an unbelievable price. The need was somewhere else.
I think that's a, you know, I mean, you hit on something there. Distinguishing between needs and wants. That gets us in trouble. Or the lack thereof, right. Distinguishing between the two.
Matter of fact, the last time I was here, you remember, I was talking about, we all have, imagine you have this bucket, your wealth bucket. Most of us have holes in it.
Now, where do we find those wealth buckets, by the way?
Well, I talked about having, every family has wealth leaks. And the one that I brought up the last time, which you kind of cringed at, was like Starbucks, for example, could be a wealth leak.
Oh, John. You don't have to go there again, man. Come on, use something else. You've had 2 years to think of another illustration.
Yeah, but I like that one. A wealth leak could be, it could be going to Walmart or Target. You know, you go in for a gallon of milk, come out with a shopping cart full of stuff. Walmart is especially dangerous because people aren't going to Nordstrom's or Von Maur anymore, but they're going to Walmart and saying, oh, look, this is on sale. This is a great deal. I must buy it. No, again, that's needs versus wants.
Yeah. Costco is also a pretty dangerous place because, you know what, it's like you come home with like a 40-gallon jug of soy sauce. And my wife's like, what are we going to do with that? I'm like, I don't know, but it was a great deal. Let's cook up some Asian food right now so we can use this. Anyway, I'm sorry, that's called ADD, John. You know that about me.
I've got it too, so.
Okay, all right. Where do you want to go? What else do we have? We have some good questions.
Should you build your retirement fund ahead of your child's college fund? Awesome question.
Great question.
I get that a lot. Here's what my thing is. I have 3 piggy banks in my office. The big one says college. The little one, the medium one says weddings. And the little one says retirement, because that's how we plan. And the thing about retirement is, here's a discussion you're not going to have with your banker when you retire. Listen, you know what? My 401k didn't do quite as well as I thought. Can you guys tide me over for the next 30, 40 years? Exactly. That's exactly what you're going to hear. On the other hand, for college, you know, you need to, it's every situation is different, but you don't have to go to Northwestern or Notre Dame or University of Chicago or WashU. Northern can be a perfectly good place. You have to have a plan A, a plan B, a plan C. You know, look at your dream school, but if it's not affordable, look at a good school that's going to give your kids scholarships. Maybe go to a local school and commute like Northern or AU or North Central. You can go to junior college for a couple years and transfer. I mean, if you go to Waubonsie, for example, or COD for 2 years and transfer, and then you go to Wash U, no one's going to say, oh, by the way, did you go all 4 years at Wash U? No one's going to ask you that question. So you need to really put things in perspective. And also, I've got years to get your students out of debt if I need to for college. Once you retire and you come to me, you are where you are.
Hmm. That's good.
And I'm also assuming that you don't want them to have to move in with your kids when you do retire. Amen to that? Okay. Enough of that question.
Hey, there's let's talk about this, the credit issue. A lot of people ask questions about credit. What's the best way to build credit without having to use credit cards all the time? Maybe answer that, but then just expound on the whole issue of credit, because I think there's some real good insight you have on that.
If you're trying to build credit, I'll start with the college students. The best way you can do this is take out a student loan and just pay it off. You're just paying the interest while you're in school will build up your credit score. The other thing could be if you have a student, teach them to use credit wisely, have them get a credit card, small, and I repeat, small balance. Leave a small amount on there, maybe $50, and just kind of pay a little bit at a time. The way you build up credit is by building it, is having sustained payments over time. Now, if your credit's in the toilet, there's a question, how do you stop creditors when all you can pay is a mortgage, utilities, and not other bills? That's a tough question.
Don't answer the phone, right?
That's one way. There are some credit counseling agencies in the area, and I wish I knew the names, but I don't. It's not an area that I get into much with my practice. But I think, you know, look for counseling. The worst thing you can do is, I know Scott and I were talking about shame in the office. The worst thing you can do is hide in your cave like Elijah was doing or hide in the broom tree? Is that what he was under? Some, you know, just hide and hope nobody's going to find you.
Yeah.
You can't do that. Seek counseling.
Yeah.
Sometimes, for example, you can talk to the credit cards or have somebody intercede for you, and they'll do an offer and compromise. Say, hey, listen, I've got $20,000 in credit card debt. Matter of fact, the biggest I've seen so far is $126,000 on Visa. You know, you need to talk to the credit card company to say, and you can work something out.
A bunch
with them.
Of us just felt better right now when you
said
that.
Oh, I'm telling you. I'm not often speechless, but that was...
Some of us are like, see, hun, it's not as bad as you say.
Yeah, John said this other guy had... but I think it's, the home is key. You need to keep your home. I know some people are upside down on their mortgages. I mean, you can't. It's hard to give a really generic answer to this. Matter of fact, I'll offer you the same thing that I did last night. If you have some really specific questions that I haven't answered, I'd be happy to talk about them with you later.
Good. Thank you for that. And can we talk about, is there a formula to figure out how much I need for retirement?
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out. You need some paper to write it down.
You want to skip that one?
No, I can give it to you. If you've got something to write on, formula would be, I'll make it easy. If you earn $100,000 a year, assume you're going to need 80% of that when you retire. So take $80,000, and then you're going to divide it by the rate of return you're going to need. So let's say you're going to get 8% return. But so you can't live off of 8%. You need to leave some off to cover the cost of inflation. So take 80,000, divide by 5. You're going to earn 8%. 3% goes, you reinvest to make sure that you're keeping the purchasing power of your dollar. So 80,000 divided by 5%, and that'll give you the lump sum that you need when you retire.
That's
if good. I had a calculator, I could figure it out.
And if you want it? No.
I don't know how to use that one, sorry.
And if you didn't catch all that, you can download the podcast and play it in slow motion, okay? Okay. Let me ask you another question about, or let me ask a question about retirement. Say there are those here who are, you know, they're in their 40s, 50s, and maybe they've not thought about retirement at all. They haven't planned at all. Are they just screwed? Or is there any hope? I mean, really, what would you say to someone? I mean, because I think there's probably people, or they had planned,
mm-hmm.
and now they're finding themselves...
The 401k is down to a 201k?
Yeah. Right, what do you do?
It's never too late. until it's too late. I guess the main thing would be, what do you do? You need to have a plan. I don't know how else to explain this. You need to have a plan because, you know, one of my favorite cartoons, remember the Far Side from Larson? One of my favorite cartoons, you had these two cavemen, they're sitting outside the cave, and they're looking at this glacier right above them. And one of them says, "Wall of ice closer today?" Think about it. You know, a glacier moves a little bit at a time, and the longer you wait, all of a sudden, just like the Titanic, the iceberg is like right there, and then it's too late. The main thing is you need to start.
That's good. Let's switch gears here. Where's it at here? What percentage of my take-home pay should my mortgage be?
Normally, I think, I don't get into mortgages, but I think most mortgage brokers are going to look at, I think it's like 27% or less, something like that.
But the question is, what should it be? Because, right, not what we qualify necessarily for, or...
You need to keep it less than 30%. And that's been a huge problem. This is a case of definitely wants versus needs. People bought homes bigger than they needed because they wanted it, and now they can't afford it. Mm. And I know this may sound controversial. I don't care what anybody tells you. Your house is not an investment. I'm going to say this again. Your house is not an investment. It's a hole in the ground that you pour money into. Now, it's better than an apartment, but you know what? I've had people that, my house is my best investment, and people who've had in the last years the most amazing returns ever in the real estate market, when I calculated it out, they were only getting between 2.5%, 3.5% return. This is people in Geneva, Batavia, St. Charles. That didn't even include property taxes because you have to add your expenses in there. Your house is not an investment. So people think, well, I'm going to buy this huge 5,000 square foot home because it's an investment. It's not an investment. Because an investment is something that you get money back from. Now, investment property, like if you own an apartment buildings or commercial, that's an investment. But your house, don't buy a house because it's an investment, because it's not.
None of us like to hear that.
I know.
Let's just go home. let's talk about budgeting. There's a couple questions on here. Can you recommend a computer program to establish a budget? Another one was, how do I establish a budget? Can you just give maybe a simple next step, maybe for those who are asking that?
Computer program, I've always used Quicken, but I think Microsoft Money is another one. It'll help you. Actually, well, there's a book that's out by David Bach called Smart Couples Finish Rich, and he has some budgeting pages in there. But in terms of a computer program, I recommend you use it. Use Quicken or Microsoft Money, and basically you're going to be putting in your expenses. It's kind of more of a look back. You're going to be able to look back and see, how much did you spend on your cars? How much did you spend on your clothes? How much did you spend on Starbucks? How much did you spend on utilities? And from that point, you'll be able to look back and say, wow, some of these things are kind of out of whack.
I'm trying to decide. I'm going to let you choose because there's a couple on here that are pretty good still.
Short sale versus foreclosure, which is better? You know, it really doesn't make a whole lot of difference. They're both going to ding your credit score. It's just a question of... what's going to work. You know, it's not something I recommend, but sometimes we've been put in situations that are beyond our control, and you need to do, you know, it's kind of like you need to jump ship at some point. Not recommended, and some people say that's not scriptural. You know, you need to take care of your families. Don't put yourself in a situation where you have nothing left.
Mm. Talk to us about priorities. You said something last night that I'd love for you to talk about again in terms of what are our priorities. What should our priorities be?
I think in terms of financial priorities, it ought to be, you know, again, make sure you have a good emergency fund, 3 to 6 months worth of expenses. And then anything beyond that, you know, I think you asked me about it, is this a good time to invest? I'm a registered principal with FINRA. Here's my advice that I give to every family that comes in my office. If you're going to need the money within 5 years, it should not be put in the stock market, period. If it's longer than 5 years, you've got some time to go through the cycles, that's fine. So 3 to 6 months worth of emergency funds, and then a cushion of savings that's fairly liquid and safe And then beyond that, you can start looking for bargains, whether it's whatever it is. On the other hand, in terms of what your priorities are, one of my favorite theologians from way back in the 1200s, Thomas Aquinas, brilliant man. And he put I am third. God is first, my neighbor is second, I am third. So in terms of taking care of things, you know, you need to support each other here at church. You need to support your pastor, your staff, because this is your refuge in this time. Then you need to support your family members. You need to take care of your family, even your in-laws. I know that may be a little controversial, but then you need to look at your neighbors and your friends. And lastly, you know, think about getting the new Lexus or whatever it is. But you need to God, family, friends and neighbors, and then yourself. Does that answer your question?
That's good. Yeah, absolutely. We got time for one more question, and I want to ask the one question I see on here that I think is probably the best one. What questions should we be asking? That's brilliant, whoever asked that.
You know, I've always been taught, never ask a question you don't already know the answer to. What questions should you be asking? I would say a couple things. One would be, I know I said this before, you need to have a plan. You need to have a roadmap. And whether it's for college or for retirement or you're thinking about starting a business or how to keep your business, whatever it is, you need to have a roadmap. And, you know, what I told folks last night was that, you know, you got to keep in mind Christ is your compass, but good basic financial planning strategies and tactics, that's your roadmap.
That's so good. Say that again because I want people to get that.
Christ is the compass, and good common financial planning strategies, that's the roadmap.
That's good.
You need to have purpose and focus and vision for what you're doing, but you need to rely on God for the inspiration.
That's so good.
Wish I thought of it myself.
We'll pretend you did. I think what it really comes down to is, you know, what does that plan look like? What is that next step? You know, we talk a lot about what is your next step here at the Orchard, because we really believe that following Jesus is a journey. It's not about reaching some destination and that's it. It's about growing. It's about constantly taking steps forward. And I just wonder with this whole topic today, what is that next step for you? Hey, Will, would you hand me that brochure right there? Thanks. When you came in, on your chair was a brochure about a class that we're going to be offering. I want to throw this out to you because I think there's probably several of us here who our next step is here's the deal. I mean, I think we're faced with a decision. You know, we can just go back into our everyday life and hope that somehow we're going to one day wake up with this immense amount of energy and motivation to want to do better financially. But I just have a feeling we're just going to keep waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. Or we can take some steps to really do something about it. And my hope as your pastor is that you would take that next step. For some of you, it may be this. This is something we're real excited about. It's called Financial Peace University. If you've ever heard of Dave Ramsey, who's just a financial expert. He's on television, on radio. I mean, he's doing some really, really great things. We're going to offer a six-week class that begins on Monday, February 23rd. It's going to go for 6 weeks on a Monday night. And the class is going to be taught via video, and then there's going to be time for discussion. There's going to be workbook that you'll be given. And really what I think this is going to do is give you the opportunity to dive deeper in some of the things we've been talking about today. You know, the cost of the class is $100. That's always tough because we realize that, hey, asking someone to pay $100 to attend a class, that's a lot of money. Some of you right now, you're probably thinking, okay, this is a class to help me financially, but I got to pay $100. That's kind of crazy. Well, we wish we could pay your way, everybody's way, and if we could, we would do that. Unfortunately, we're not able to. And so I would really look at this as an investment because I think that the long-term benefits are going to be huge because you're going to learn everything from how to establish a budget, how to save money, how to get out of debt, how to repair your credit. I mean, this is going to be a very, very practical, hands-on experience. And so we just want to encourage you to sign up. For that $100, you get a workbook, you get a CD-ROM, you get a all the audio CDs of the sessions, all the materials, and we're also going to offer childcare, which I know is an issue for a lot of you, and it's going to be offered at a very minimal cost. And so I would encourage you, because I think for some of you, maybe that is your next step. You know, we've been talking about tithing. We talk about generosity. And let me just say this about tithing. You know, I think that tithing is really just the starting point. I don't think it's ever, let's make it our goal to just give 10%. I think in a way, tithing is like training wheels. It just gets us going. It gets us started. Because I think the generosity that God wants us to display in our lives goes far beyond that. Not just in a church, but out in the community, friends in need, what you were talking about, John, being sensitive to the needs of those around us. And so anyway, I would encourage you, sign up for this class. You can go out to the lobby right after the service here. There's a table out there with a sign. You'll see it. And so maybe for some of you, that's your next step. Maybe for some of you, your next step is tithing. It's engaging and making sure that you are keeping God first. Maybe for others of you, I do know this, that there are some of you who you've been faithful in tithing and in giving, but you've lost your job. Or you're facing something right now that has prohibited you from being able to give. Well, I also know that there are others of you who are especially blessed right now. And I think these are times that we all chip in and do our part. If you're especially blessed in your life financially, now is the time to kick in more to help make up for the person who has perhaps lost their job. And so, see, that's community right there, us being there for one another. And so I just want us to close. And do you want to say anything about the class? I mean, you're not going to teach the class. Some people asked last night, are you teaching the class? So I wanted to be real clear. Dave Ramsey is going to teach it via video. But
he's almost as good as I am, by the way.
Almost. See, the problem is we couldn't afford John. I mean, I'm just kidding. But I mean, do you want to say anything about, because I know that you believe in these types of things.
You know, I've been doing this for a long time. I think this next year, the next couple of years, we have an incredible opportunity as a Christian family to show to the world what it really means to be a Christian.
Yeah, that's good.
If you think back to when Christianity started, we were under persecution, we were under the foot of the Romans, and in Acts it said, you know, how did they know we're Christians? Look how they love one another.
Yes.
And so here's our chance. In order to be able to help someone else, we need to be responsible in our own families first before you can help someone else. But I think we have an incredible opportunity. If there's ever time to win people over to Christianity and to the Christian church, it's going to be by helping people through rough times, and you can't do it unless your own house is in order.
Amen. That's so good. Well, John, thank you. Would you give John a big thank you this morning? Yes. Thank you, John. But before we go, let's take a minute and let's just hit the pause button. Let's just allow some of this to digest. Would you bow your heads with me? Let's pray. Let's just ask God, what is that next step in my life? God, I think that you are all about next steps. And you are all about constantly changing us, constantly challenging us. And there's no doubt about it. I have no doubt that every one of us in this room have been challenged today. And I hope that we're walking away today with an urgency in our hearts, not motivated out of fear, not motivated out of worry, but instead motivated, God, out of a desire to be the best stewards, the best managers that we can be. It really comes down to the three things we talked about last weekend. God, that you are our source. And we are managers, we're not owners. And you desire that we manage well. And so, God, thank you that as we discuss these things, what we're really doing is we're getting out of the dark as it pertains to our money. And we are running to the light. We are embracing your light. Because, God, it's in that light that we find freedom and truth. So God, would you give us the courage? Give us the strength, the faith to take that next step and to be obedient to you? God, we embrace your hope and we embrace your promise. And we embrace your love. Thank you, God, for this community. Thank you for the love. God, the opportunity you've given us to reach out and to love others. Today we open our hearts to you. We want your will to be done in our lives, God. And we pray these things, and now before we go, we worship you, Lord. We thank you for who you are. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I think this song is such a great way to end this series that we've been in, Uncertainty, because I think it really sums it up. You know, I mean, while we're surrounded by all this uncertainty, what we're declaring this morning is that we are going to run into the light. We're going to go and we're going to embrace what is certain. And it's in that light that we find truth. We find freedom. We find hope. And so we declare as a church community that in the days ahead, the weeks ahead, months ahead, we're going to be all about hope. We're going to be all about truth. We're going to be all about freedom. Because that is the most certain thing that we can be about. And thankfully, because of Jesus, we can embrace that. Not just as wishful thinking, not as just, well, they're just being positive. No, we embrace that because that is truth. And so, I hope this series has encouraged you. It has me. And these next couple weeks, in fact, about 2 weeks from now, we're going to start a brand new series that I can't wait to share with you about probably next weekend. So don't miss out. Thank you for being here, guys. We love you. Praying for you. Have a great, great week ahead. We'll see you next weekend. God bless.